Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1 with It's for Women. The car insurance you can sort online anytime.
Tweet at Miriam O'Cal. Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.
Well, Galway-based singer-songwriter Declan O'Rourke has teamed up with Paul Weller, formerly of the Style Council and The Jam, who's produced Declan's latest album, Arrivals. Well, Declan has come into Studio 8 to record a mini-session for us, and I'm going to chat to him now. Morning, Declan. Congrats on your new album. It's entered the UK folk chart at number 2, I'm told.
It has. Thank you very much, Miriam. It's so lovely to talk to you, and always a pleasure.
Tell me about it. How long have you been writing it? Is it during lockdown or before?
It was both written and recorded before lockdown. So it's a relic of our pre-pandemic world. But somehow I think it almost felt more poignant. I don't know why. It kind of felt like it suited the times. And we decided to go ahead and release it on that basis rather than wait until afterwards when it might have felt stale too. And we also felt that it was good to get music out there for people. I'm deciding which road to go down here. There's a million things I could talk about, but you asked me about the album itself, and I think it was just a collection of songs that described my life in the times I wrote them, and I would describe it as a kind of a self-portrait, which a few other people have said too.
Okay, the first song you're going to do for us this morning from your new album is The Harbour. Tell me about it.
Yeah, The Harbour was a mixture of things. It was one of those strange songs that was more cathartic than anything else. I kind of had it half written, and unusually for me, I didn't quite know what I was trying to say. It was like sometimes songs help you to figure out what's going on inside yourself. Sometimes you know exactly what you're trying to achieve, and it begins with a very clear emotion you want to share with people. But this one, I think it was because of where I was in my life and trying to unravel what I wanted out of life. I've heard people say that when you reach your 40s, it's like hitting the plateau. And I can identify with that. And, you know, but there was a coming to grips with that and trying to figure out what was going on, and lots of conversations with friends about philosophical things and the world the way it is. And they filtered into this song. And it was kind of my charting of figuring out, I think, how I wanted to balance my life with my career. And it kind of manifested nicely as well, because it had a major effect on the decisions I made about my career around that time. And we're going down a long road here, Miriam.
No, it's good.
But a friend of mine in Australia, a guy called Jules Normington, he's a great friend of mine. I met him out there years ago. And he's a good bit older than me, but, you know, you have that instant connection with people and feel like you've known them forever. We have great conversations. And he told me a story about a Mexican fisherman. I think it was like a Hemingway story or something. Great parable, great kind of moral at the end of it, and that hearing that instantly helped me to unlock what I was trying to say with this song. And so there's a little nod to that at the end of the song.
Listen, I want to know that parable. You can't tell me this great story and that all my listeners will go, okay, what is this great parable?
So and so somebody has since told me they think it has its roots in an old Irish story, but okay, who knows. So the story goes that there's this Mexican fisherman. And he just gets out of a boat on the end of a pier, and it's kind of middle of the day, beautiful sun. And he walks up the pier carrying two fish over his back, two big fish, and reaches a table where a couple of his friends are sitting drinking beers in the sun. And he throws the fish under the table and sits down, orders a beer too. Now there's been a kind of corporate looking American guy, maybe. He's been watching this and he fancies the fish for his lunch, you know, and he says, I'll approach. He goes and tries to buy the fish, and the man said, I'm sorry, they're just for my dinner, for my family, you know, they're not for sale. And the guy starts to question him. He says, was that your boat you got out? Do you mind me asking? That is my boat, yeah. And he says, and how come you're not out there all day fishing and making more fish than you need so you could sell it and make a profit and, you know, And the guy was saying, well, it's just all I needed for lunch, you know. The story goes on and on, and eventually, the tourist is saying, well, if you made more, you could eventually buy another boat and have other guys fishing while you're off. And the Mexican guy kept saying, but what would happen next? Why would I do that? And he goes through all the stages, and the guy is saying, you know, you could eventually open your own factory and, you know, move to a big house. And eventually, if you work really hard for a very long time, you could get to a point where you could just have other people doing all the work, and you could sit down in the middle of the day drinking beer with your friends. And the guy says, well, what am I doing now?
Really good story.
And that was it. It was brilliant, though.
Yeah.
What do you want out of life? We're all working ourselves to bits.
Yeah.
To achieve simplicity. And maybe it's there all along, you know.
It's a really good story.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Okay, you're going to play for us now, The Harbour.
The Harbour. Here we go. Johnny cooks a steak from Little's on a Friday night. After spending all the week long working hard laying tiles, tells me she made me feel so used, but I leave all that behind. See, I was making real good money then, I had 10 men laying tiles. And he's standing in the doorway of our little kitchenette, puffing on one of these new crazed electric cigarettes. And I imagine he must get lonely, but if he does, he keeps it all in jail. But when you're guarding a prison, how do you choose what to be? I've got an older friend named Pete who sometimes helps me with my trees. Likes to talk about old girlfriends and the places that he's been. He talks about his hippie days and how he settled here by chance. But he's always been a hippie since the time he lived in France. And he plays all kinds of music and sometimes he might sing. Where will all that go to when we miss him now some spring? I like to listen to him talking. He tells funny and wise tales. Says when you're holding a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Now me, I'm out here in the world, singing my songs from town to town, and giving everything I have to get this thing of mine I've found. So maybe someday I can live just like the fisherman who stays close to the harbor and only takes enough just for today. But for now, I think I'm somewhere in the middle of the sea. I'm sailing on a suitcase filled with dreams of what might be. And I look for pretty stories for to sing as mine and fill my sail. And when you live by the weather, every wind has a tail. Ooh.
It's a beautiful song. How did you come about that Paul Weller ended up producing this with you? How did that happen?
I asked him. Simple, really. You know, the longer version is that I had this collection of songs and I was coming up to the point of feeling like an album was ready to come out. And I'd never worked with a producer before, but there's other things that were going on in my life brought me to a point where I was re-examining a lot of things. And that was basically my wife and I decided to start a family and we had a little boy about just over 3 years ago. I knew from the few years that I had worked up to that point that I needed to change the way I approached my career. I had made 4 records, 4 years in a row. I was managing myself. I was fiercely independent for years, working around the clock all year round. No time for, you know, family or quality of life. It was taking absolutely everything. And I felt it was saying, you're going to give us all that. We want more. We want everything you have. If you want to be successful at this, you need to give over your entire life. I knew exactly where I wanted to be with this family situation. And I said, I'm not doing that. I'm going to stop now. I may just give it up, you know. But I had this album written, and another conversation I had with somebody close to my family, and this friend of ours said to me, what you need to do, you know, is you need to figure out a way to delegate and allow other people to do the jobs that they are best at. And you, you know, concentrate on being creative. And I had to let go. I had to let go of a lot of things and self-control or just control in general. But one of the decisions that came with that was that I was going to invite somebody to produce me, right, which felt like a big shift for me. And I was listening to Paul Weller's latest record one morning, and I could just hear all of these decades of experience in the studio. I could hear the warmth and the... So my brain did a couple of leaps very quickly. It was kind of thought, imagine spending a bit of time with him in the studio, what you could learn, just being a fly on the wall. And I was like, maybe he's the guy. Maybe Paul's the guy, you know, and I'd been in touch with him not long before. We've had a nice friendship over the years. And I text him, you know, within an hour or two before I had time to change my mind or chicken out. And it just went from there. And he was very receptive.
Of course, it helped he's a fan. Like, he loved your song, Galileo.
He has said lovely things over the years and was very, give me great endorsements. And, you know, there was probably very little chance I would have asked other than that.
Of course, you're living in Canberra now. I think I read somewhere that you've moved about 27 times in your life. So are you in Canberra now for the long haul?
I don't know. I thought so, and I would like to think so. But, you know, life is ever changing, isn't it? And, you know, you never know what's coming. I love it there, and I love the community there. You know, we had an exhibition of putting together the paintings belonged to my grandfather who came from there.
Wow.
About 2 years ago.
What was his name?
His name was Michael Killeen. And he left there in 1937 and left this mysterious collection of paintings all around my family. Never went back there, but painted it for the whole rest of his life. We were all very intrigued by that and grew up with these dreamy, beautiful scenes of this place. And I was drawn to it ever since I was a kid and ended up wanting to spend time there and then living there. And then we had that exhibition. We gathered paintings from all around the world. There was about 40 of them. They were coming from Australia and Sweden and England. And he was an amateur artist, never made his living out. He was a sign writer by trade. But somehow that kind of, in a way, I felt like it put a lid on it for me. Mm-hmm. And part of me thought maybe it was really his life I was following. In a way, and trying to unravel that story and fix it and explore my roots.
Okay.
I don't know. Life is long, and I'd like to move around a bit, maybe.
Of course, when you were very young, I think you were 10, Your parents went from, was it Ballyferma to Australia?
That's right. My parents brought us out there and we only stayed for about 4 years because my mum was quite homesick and she had a large family.
Can you remember, though, as a little boy going there and then coming back, I suppose, into school in Ballyferma?
Oh, God, yeah.
Was it tricky? Was it difficult?
It had its challenges. Absolutely, yeah. You have to fit in. And I mean, especially going out there first, it was, you may as well be moving to another planet.
There's a lovely story, though, when you were that young boy in Australia. I think it was a priest who gave you the guitar. Tell me that story. I love it.
That's true. It's still on my wall at home in the studio. It's got a sticker on it that says KZFM, the hits and the memories. Actually, my parents were visiting some people from our street, the Carrolls,
in
Ballyfermot. They had a daughter out there, Celine. And the way it happens with immigrants, you get a letter saying, oh, Celine from up the road is out there now, you should meet up and all that. And they became very friendly, my parents and Celine and her husband. And she had an uncle who lived in this place, Kyabram. He was parish priest up there. We went for a weekend. It was up on the Murray River out, kind of near the bush kind of area. And we went fishing. And
how old were you about?
It was my 13th birthday that weekend. Wow. I probably wouldn't have remembered what age otherwise. But in the house, there was a young priest, I suppose they call him a deacon or something. I don't know how old he was, probably mid-20s. And there was a couple of guitars lying around. And I snuck off at one stage and grabbed one and sat under a stair or something. And I think he saw me. And when we were leaving on the Sunday, the car was just about to pull away and he ran after us and said, hang on, hang on. And he said, I think you left something behind. I think this belongs to you.
Oh.
And a bit of a life-changing moment, really. You know, and I vaguely remember he showed me a couple of chords as well really quickly and kind of set me on the path. So what a gift.
Yeah.
I've heard since that he left the priesthood and got married. And his name was David. I remember that much. So
you need to find him.
I wish him the best out there, yeah.
Have you missed gigging? I know you've got concerts coming up, penciled in for the end of this year and next.
I'm excited for those now that they're booked.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And looking forward to them. But to be 100% honest with you, and I'm being really honest here, part of me makes it feel like I'm not a real musician, but I haven't really missed gigging. And, you know, I've got a lot of messages from people, friends of mine, saying, but, you know, I've had very strange mixed conversations. Some of them have been people saying, yeah, I really miss being out on tour. But I've had conversations with dear friends of mine and really plowing the depths and kind of asking ourselves very profound questions. Is this really what we want to be doing? It's, you know, I think this time has made people examine how they spend their lives a lot.
That's so interesting. Yeah.
Mm.
So lockdown has made Declan O'Rourke rethink a lot of things.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, part of me, to be again honest, Suzanne will shoot me for saying this, but I don't even know if I want to do this forever. I don't know. I'm exploring myself and figuring out what I want to do. I can still feel songs coming, but I want to see what the future holds and not go back to this as a vocation for the rest of my life just because I was doing that already, but because I want to do it, because I feel a nice song coming, you know?
Yeah.
And because I want to sing it to people, maybe. That's me being, I don't know, I'm being really honest.
Jack, and we could talk for another 4 hours. But
that's
my producers will kill me. It's great. But look, your new album, as I said, number 2 in those charts this week in the UK.
So happy about that.
Yeah, well done and well deserved. It's called Arrivals. It's, of course, out now. And tickets for your forthcoming tour dates, assuming you do them, are available from your website.
Oh, I'll be out there. No, I am looking forward to those. Really
DeclanO'Rourke.com. And you're going to play us out with another beautiful song called The Stars Over Kinvara.
I will.
Thanks, Minnie Declan.
Thanks, Miriam. Through dark summer nights on his racing bike, your great-granddad might go killing. When our classes were done in Galway town, cycled home the miles between. And the moon overhead led him home as he sped, till the stars over Kinvara said, welcome home. Long before I ran to be your old man, I dreamed of living here, where Atlantic waves neath Dungura's gaze keep the air so fresh and clear. I was 25 when I first laid eyes on where I knew I'd find my children's eyes. And the stars over Kinvara said, welcome home. That first night I drove you and Mammy home, I pulled over in Ballandarine. I just had to pull in, I had never seen such a sky of gems that gleamed. Oh, Ryan was out, and the starry all the night was on display over the burn, the road and the bay. There were 10 more lights that shone for each one of our own passed on, and I dreamed that my go-to was shining down on you, when the stars over Kinvara said, welcome home. When the stars over Kinvara said, welcome home.
That was beautiful, Declan, and lots of love here from you coming in. Emma Ryan says, Harry tells me Declan's on with you this morning, Miriam, and I wanted to send you this. It's 7-year-old Harry who's asked me a little while ago to write down the words of the Stars of Kinvara, which Declan has just sung, so he could learn them. He's tuning in now to listen. So actually, Declan, you can listen to 7-year-old Harry. It's lovely. It's up there online. That's Emma Ryan, his mum. Also, Marion McMahon says, my son Cian, who lives in Nova Scotia, is a huge fan of Declan O'Rourke. He sent me Declan's new album, which is just superb, and it's been played here in Tullamore every day for the past week. Could you please say hi to Cian? And we all say hi to Cian. Father Dennis Crosby, Anna Galway says, who's now in Liscannor, County Clare, told that story Declan told at Mass more than 20 years ago. Good luck to Declan and all the musicians. Fantastic show, Miriam. So proud that we have you and him in our national broadcaster. Just to say that story, Declan, two people, you can always rely on your listeners, contacted us to say that it was actually published over 40 years ago in German by the Nobel Prize winning novelist Heinrich Böll, who of course had a home in Achill and loved it there. And Nicole says, I just heard the story about the fisherman who may not be rich and successful. She also tells us, of course, it was written by Heinrich Böll, and the title is Anecdote to Lower the Work Ethic. She says, I'm really touched that Declan knows the story. Maria in Cork says, Declan, you're a beautiful person and what a beautiful message this morning. So simple to connect with yourself. I'm going out to buy the album and very quickly, Miriam, that lovely deacon who gave Declan his first guitar shows the wonder of good deeds. And John says, my husband Mark and I are huge fans of Declan. We had Galileo played at our civil partnership and there wasn't a dry eye in the house.